However, he has written three books in the Apocrypha. And here we do it all. We capture all that the Lord has, all the learning, all the teachings that God can give us. And so, but he is a role model. He's an example for us. So let's go now to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. And we're going to begin at verse number 2, because we need an example here to help us understand what God is saying. Now, verse number 22 in Genesis chapter number 5, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters." Now, the first thing it talks about is how he walked with God. Now, the meaning of his name is very important. In the book of Hebrew, and the Hebrew meaning, Enoch means to be consecrated. It means to be dedicated, and it also means to be disciplined. And we will learn that on our Christian walk, on our Christian journey, we have to be consecrated unto the Lord. We have to be dedicated, and also we have to be disciplined. We got to be disciplined. Now, I'm going to show something to us, some background. We're going to talk about what does it mean, or what does it mean in walking with God, walking. What does that word? He said he walked with God. So what does that walking mean? Now, the meaning of walking with God is to begin the journey or the process of translation. Now, when we look at that, we also have to look at verse number 24 in the book of Genesis chapter number 5. When you look at verse number 24, it says, "Enoch walked with God, and he was not. God took him." He walked with God. Then it says, "and he was not." But it also says that God took him. To give us a little bit more emphasis on being translated on that journey, when we begin our journey with God, we are being translated on our journey until we get to the point where God wants to take us home. Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Stay closely with me because we won't be before you very long. Hebrews, chapter number 11, and looking at verse number 5 in Hebrews chapter number 11, we're talking about walking out your faith, walking out your faith. Verse number 5 in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, it says, "By faith," remember that, faith, "Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." He had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, in the Greek, the word translate means to transfer. Interesting. It means to transfer. In other words, when he began his journey with the Lord, he put in his transfer papers. He put in his transfer papers. It means to transfer. He put in his transfer papers. It means to exchange. In other words, when he started walking with God, he decided to change sides. See, when you begin this walk with God, we have to make sure that we have the mindset to know that we are changing, or we're planning on changing sides whenever you're walking with God. Very important. Because a lot of times people, they say they're walking with God, but they have not changed sides. They still in both walking with both sides, you know, world and walk with God, you know. They have not changed sides, amen? But the main thing here, he understood that he had to change sides. So he has to put his mind from earth to heaven. That's the size he had to change. He had to put his mind and his focus on where he wanted to go. Because he was walking out his journey. The more we walk with God, thank you, Holy Spirit, the more we walk with God, the less we should see us. Amen. We should see less of us and more of Him. Amen. Less of us and more of Him. Because we're being translated. There's a change going on. Even to the mind, all that is changing. Now, in the book of wisdom, which you will not find in the King James Version, but you will find it in the Apocrypha. Now, the book of wisdom says this. Now, in the book of wisdom, chapter number 4, verse number 10, it says, there was one who pleased God and was loved by Him, and while living among sinners, he was taken up. That's why it's important to connect all of the books. Because one of them gives you a little bit more information. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It kind of fills in the blanks. Because sometimes we're not sure about a thing. But if we continue our research and continue our study, then the Lord will reveal to us what He's actually saying and give us a clarity and give us understanding. Amen. Now, understanding, the Bible says that he was translated. He began his journey. He changed sides. But there was something that was a key that he needed, all right? That's where we're going now. We're going to the book of Hebrews again. We're still in chapter number 11, but we're going to begin with verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Because we're saying walking out your faith. So we need to know what is faith. How do we get faith? Amen. Of course, God gives every man a certain measure of faith. Now, here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, in the Greek, that word faith there, what is faith? It means it is the assurance or it's the foundation of things hoped for. It is also the evidence of proof of things not seen. Not only that, but it is God's divine assurance. All right? It's God's divine assurance. Now, faith. Faith is the assurance. It is the assurance that you can trust in God and He will do whatever He says He's going to do. But it's interesting that faith is spiritual. Faith is just like God is. We don't see God, but we know that He exists. That's how faith is. See, some people think that faith is you see it already. You got it. No. Faith is you're hoping for something and you're believing that it's going to come to pass. That's what faith is. It's the divine assurance. God said, trust me. If He said, trust me, that means trust Him. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it sounds like, God says, trust me. And once you trust Him, we've got the faith to believe and know that is God's divine assurance. That I can trust Him no matter what the situation is. Amen. The Bible also says, as it talks about, faith is the substance. It's a substance. It's a substance. But when you look at verse number 6, we're going to deal with substance in just a moment. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, verse number 6 in Hebrews, chapter number 11, says this. But without what? Without faith, the divine assurance of God, it is impossible to please Him. So that means we've got to have faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we've got to have faith. If we don't have faith, that means we can't please God. You got to have faith. You have to have faith. It's necessary. Because without it, the scripture says we cannot please God. He goes further. He says it is impossible. Help, Lord. Help, God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So that means we got to have faith, right? In order to please God. I don't want to walk around thinking I don't need this. And yes, you do. Yes, we do. We need faith. Faith is a foundation. It is a foundation. And then he says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. If you don't believe that he is, you can forget about the other part of the scripture that says he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you don't believe he exists, forget about everything else. Holy Spirit, I hear you. It cancels out the reward. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're not seeking him and you don't believe he is, you can forget about them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The benefits. Because there are benefits that comes with God. But if you don't believe that he is, think about how many benefits you're missing. Help me, Lord. Because I want everything that God has for me. Everything, because he has so much for us. Thank you, Lord. This is impossible. But the next thing is, since without faith we can't please God, then how do I get faith? How do I get faith? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to the book of Romans. Now, we're a teaching ministry because when you leave here, we're going to make sure you're equipped with what you need. Amen. No need to jump over the pews, skip and hop and run everywhere, and then go out there and don't have no power. You got to have some faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How many of y'all drove this morning? Come here in a vehicle. You say you got it parked outside, right? Well, you don't know that. You're inside of this building. But you believe that when you leave outside of this building, your vehicle is going to be out there, right? That's faith. You believe that. You believe your vehicle is going to be outside. But the door is shut. We're enclosed, so how do you know it's out there? That's the simple part of what. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That is the simplicity of faith. It's strange. We can trust in something that we drove in, man-made, and we believe that we're gonna go outside those doors. And we believe that once we get outside those doors, we believe our vehicle is going to be there. And then we also believe that when we get in and we put that key in the ignition, we believe it's going to crank up, right? Well, how do you know that? But yet we can't believe God, who made the universe, who is the creator of all things. We said, because we can't see him, how do I know he exists? Well, the same way you believe your car is outside when you get there. That's how simple it is. That's how simple it is. Y'all getting it? You said, can you feel it? Can you believe it? It's amazing. Now, Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse number 17. And we're talking about how in the world, how do we get faith? How do we get faith? Now, okay. Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I've got Romans 10 on my page, and I'm saying something else. I'm going somewhere. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 17. All right, now how do we get faith? How do we get faith? It says now, so then faith, which is the divine assurance of God, it says it can only come by what? Hearing. And what am I hearing? You're hearing and hearing by the word of God. The only way you can get faith is by hearing the word of God. So, well, some people don't believe the word of God. So who are they hearing? It says faith comes. Faith cometh. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He says faith cometh. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way we can get faith is through the word of God. Now, why are we going to keep a book closed? That's the only way you can get faith. You got to have the word of God. There's no other way to get faith. There's no other way that we can believe that he actually exists, except he speaks of himself through the word of God. See, when we begin walking out our faith, it says walking out your faith, we are being translated and we believe that we're going to get to the place where we're going to be. I'm calling that heaven. Amen. That's where I'm going. I'm being translated there even as I speak. Even as you speak, you're being translated. When you began this journey, you started your translation process. And as you walk, it should be more of God and less of me and less of you. Amen. Can we get an amen on that? So when we look at it, let's think about self. How much self is still in us and how much God is in us? That'll tell us where we are on our translation process. Walking out your faith. Faith is a powerful thing. Faith is very powerful. Without faith, we cannot please God. The Bible says it is impossible to please him without faith. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us. Without it, we can't please God. How many of us want to please God? I want to please God. Amen. So I've got to have faith in order to please him. That process of walking out your faith, believing that whatever God tells you to do, you activating your faith. You begin that journey. We all are on a journey right now. We are all on a journey. And sometimes we stop along the way, don't we? Sometimes we stop along the way and we pick some daisies, right? I don't think nobody in here named Daisy. Maybe somebody out there in the land, you know, television land that those will be viewing. Maybe we got some daisies out there, but you know, sometimes we stop and we pick daisies. And what happens? It delays the process. We get off course, right? We get off course. But the beauty of God is he will put us back on course. He'll put us back on course. And the way he put us back on course, he sends trials and tribulations. Because, you know, man is notorious for being hard-headed, right? Oh, I'm the only one hard-headed in the house. Well, amen. You know, we're notorious. We're notorious for being hard-headed. Stiff-necked is what he said to Israel. He said, you're a stiff-necked people. We are hard-headed. We don't listen. Bridge out. Oh, the bridge out. Well, God told you before you left. Amen. How many of us got to the bridge? when God told us not to go to the bridge. And we get there and we're like, oh my Lord, there's a bridge. And it's out and I can't cross over. The Holy Spirit, He always warns us. He always warns us before we do whatever we do. He warns us now. He does that. He warns us. Help us, Lord. He help us, Holy Spirit, walking out your faith. Walking out your faith. We got to hear the word of God. Now, it also talks about in Hebrews chapter 11, in that verse, in verse 1. We're going back to Hebrews, so I want you to see the scripture. It also talks about what we call, it says, substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance. What is substance? Substance is really connected with faith. Because the word says, now faith is the substance. It did not say that faith is a substance. But it did say that faith is the substance. Big difference. That's a big difference between the and the a. It's a substance, right? Now, the Greek meaning of substance means being. But in the Latin, it means something that stands under, undergird, something that keeps you grounded. Substance. It's all connected with faith. Faith is the substance. Faith keeps us grounded. It's specific. Faith is a spiritual force. It's spiritual. Faith is spiritual. Things not seen. It's evidence. It says it's evidence. It's proof to bring to light. Whenever you have to present some evidence, you got to have some proof. If you go to court, you got to have some proof. You just can't go up in that jiving and think you're going to fool somebody, right? But you got to have your stuff together. You got to have it. You got to have it together. You've got to have some. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Everybody may not have gone to court. So it's like this. You get stopped by the police. We can all witness to that, right? You better have your stuff together and in the car. Because that's your proof. That's your evidence. I was in an accident a few years back. Young man ran. He ran right in the back of me. I was sitting at the stoplight. He was in his father's car. And he was not being insured by his father. He had no credentials at all. That's why you got to make sure you got your stuff together. Because when you get stopped, need I say any more? Because at some point in life, we've all been stopped for things that's not credible. I'm trying to make it easy. Amen. I'm trying to be soft with it, okay? Amen. Amen. But you got to have some proof. You got to have some evidence. That's why now they even require you to have your ID on your person, on you. Because there's so much stolen identity. It's ridiculous. You have to prove who you are. And that's sad. But faith, it's a substance. It's an evidence. It says that evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. Now, let's look at our last scripture. We're going to the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. Genesis, chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Evidence of things not seen. Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 13. That divine persuasion of things not seen as of yet. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 13, it says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through," who they say? Them, mankind, as it is now. It says, "The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Looking at verse number 17, God is speaking. God says, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." God gave Noah instructions. It had not rained, but God told him, said, "I need you to build an ark." Hadn't rained, but God said, "Noah, I need you to build an ark." He never seen rain. He said, "I want you to build this ark, and I want you to warn the people." And he did. But how many of them believed what God said? How many believed what God said?